Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. Welcome back. I hope you had a great weekend. And as I promised, we will get into some of these ratification debates. We're going to be still kind of lingering with the North Carolina debates, but I wanted to also get into a different topic that kind of covers current events that go that actually kind of was initiated by a fine gentleman called Adam Smith. And so I think I've heard a few people reference him. And so if you want to call in, the phone lines are open. That number to call in would be 215-867-8255. And as always, this show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. So both MobiStripPress.com and ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. And we're probably going to be picking up a couple of more sponsors. So I don't know how I'm going to list all of them, whether I want to dedicate that kind of time. But I think it's important that we identify those primary sponsors. So I'll probably have to every once in a while, at least at a minimum. Anyway, so you are listening to the only show that asserts a constitutional solution to our federal government overreach. That means that we are out to get the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution once again. And so, with that, let's press forward. As always, I will also tell you that this show is dedicated in supporting getting the state legislators and those state leaders in office who are willing to commit to protecting their federal or their citizens from federal tyranny. But it just doesn't stop there. We have to also support those leaders of the grassroots movement, those who embrace and support the Constitution. So we're trying to work with all of those. This is the hub, and this is where the focus has to be. I know that, you know, the spotlight has been on D.C. for over two centuries. Everybody has been drawn to the flame like a moth. But if we're going to survive, we have to change our focus back to the states and state leadership. And so that's why this show is dedicated at the state level to those who can really clean up the mess, those who have the authority to clean up the mess. So the reason I'm supporting those grassroots leaders and these state legislators and elected officials at the state level is because those who are willing to commit to supporting the Constitution means that they're willing to protect all of us from federal tyranny. So I want you to ponder on that. That's what it is all about. Because when one person stands up, you know, it's just like that gentleman back when I think it was 1989, Tiananmen Square, where that young man or that gentleman stood up against the tank. That's what has to happen. We have to have a state or a David stand up against Goliath, and we will get other states to stand up as well. It is really unfortunate because we just had that anniversary not too long ago. It is really unfortunate that the rest of the Chinese people did not stand up against that brutal regime. Because look at what they're still doing. They're still being pushed and being used as tools to further communism and to further divide and conquer the world so that they can. I mean, look at all the rogue states that they have now. They've got Iran and North Korea, and hopefully that's changing as we speak and as this broadcast goes out, because I believe soon they're going to be talking about, you know, the progress of the meeting and so forth, if they're not already doing that or speculating. But again, that is the grapefruit or the shiny object of the day that people want to talk about. But I'm telling you, if you want to get the work done, you want to save the Constitution, we have to focus on the things that will actually do that. These might be very entertaining collisions and carnage and so forth, but I am telling you, the only thing that has the authority to save this Republican Constitution are the states and the state legislators. That's why we need to focus on them. And so that's why I appreciate all of you who get it, and as this audience continues to grow, and again, I appreciate your sharing this content and getting this word out. By all means, please continue to do so, and you're more than welcome to engage. So, if you want to call in, the number is 215-TOP-TALK. Those who know me and you happen to call in, please remember the three C's. I'll just go through those right now. The first C is confidentiality. If you know me, just call me GR. That's what I go by, especially in public. Be civil. And the third C is be concise. Try to be something I'm not. So anyway, let me point out also, if you go to reclaimingtherepublic.org, I have a link to one of the best videos that should be viral. Every patriot ought to watch this video, at least the first 30 minutes of this video on YouTube. You'll find it on my Take Action link or the Take Action page. And if you go to that page, it's just underneath the two PDF files where you can download the actual presentation slides that I use in that video. You can actually also click on that link and watch that first 30 minutes. And maybe I should start getting people, you know, interviewing them. Hey, did you watch that? What did you think? And so forth and so on. I think we're only in the couple thousands of total views since we've done different iterations of it. And I think it should be in the tens of thousands, millions, and so forth. Anyway. And it's not like I'm making money on this. I don't even run that page. It's somebody else that supports me, and I don't even think they're making money on it. I just think that they believe that this is that important. So if you have a mailing list or a group of patriots that you meet with, let's say you're part of the GOP. Has your GOP, had the time to, spend 30 minutes in watching a video? Have your central committee play that video. And I believe that your paradigm will start shifting away from this form of democracy that we're, this charade that we're basically following, and actually start returning back towards little R republicanism and constitutional foundational government. Anyway, I guess I should say something about crowdfunding. I've just not had the time. And if you want to help me, that's one way you can help me, because this is the point where I kind of grovel. I could really use some help and support. There's hundreds of people that I'm trying to reach and contact and so forth. So if you've got a phone, you've got a computer, you have some computer literacy with some software and so forth, and you want to help and get involved, I could use some help. I know that there's some people that say, well, let me send you some money. Save your money. We need that money to getting candidates across the finish line in Wyoming and in the Dakotas, Utah, and Kansas. So just save your money. As much as I could appreciate the getting that, I will just kind of leave it there. I'm sure my wife and my dogs and family would appreciate more money, but in all honesty, I believe that we need every penny that we can get in getting these candidates that need to be out up in the state houses and leadership. We need them, and we need to get them across the finish line. So with that, I want you to know I did actually scan through the news, and there is no sign of the federal government giving up any of its tyrannical roles, responsibilities, and powers that it has usurped from the states. And I say that not because I am saying usurp. The framers, these men in the ratification debates, they clearly called usurpations or anything that the federal government took upon itself without following the Article 5 process were usurpations. That was definitely jumping out in the Massachusetts ratification debates. I'm sure you've read along with me in that. And as we're digesting the North Carolina debates, you'll find that what they have to do legitimate exercises of powers is they have to go through the Article 5 process. In other words, that Constitution has to be amended for them to actually be delegated the authority. If not, it is unconstitutional or illegal authority. So anyway, I do have a standing question. If you're interested in getting a set of my books, Father's Day is this weekend. It's still time to get it. you can call in and let's just have this dialogue. What or where in the Constitution does the federal government receive the authority to create and manage land for the purposes of reservations? And actually, I got into a dialogue in social media this weekend regarding the use of lands and so forth. And it was nice to see somebody actually citing the quotations or citing the Constitution and quoting those parts of the Constitution. Unfortunately, I think they missed a few things, and I had to throw that out there. But anyway, because it was about the wall and whether the federal government had the authority to build a wall and possess that land. And so anyway, long story short, they do. Red Pill Expo. We're coming up on a week and a half, and so I'm going to be very honest. If you haven't got your ticket, if you're not going to be able to come, or the cost is just too big of a burden, then I would recommend you going to redpillexpo.org and sign up for the streaming so that you can at least capture this momentous event. There's going to be all sorts of things that are going to be happening, different mechanisms and so forth. I know that Patriot Soapbox is going to be there because they have talked about having me come on and talking about Republic Review. Anyway, look at the cost and go look into actually doing the streaming, because I think that is a pretty reasonable thing. And I don't know if they're coming up with a mechanism for interfacing with Twitter, Facebook, and those types of things. But one would think they are, but I can't speak to that yet. I'll have to call and ask if they are. But at this point, I'm at a hard break, and so I will have to come back right after a word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. Most people resist change, but how would you like to be rewarded in at least two ways for considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy believes your smile is a reflection upon him, and that is a mutually shared reward between both him and you. Another reward is improving your overall health by working with your dentist like Dr. Tracy and developing a strategy in maintaining your dental health. But how would you like a direct incentive in considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy and his staff from time to time offer a special referral program. For every new patient you refer who becomes a patient, Dr. Tracy will reward you with $50 off your dental work. Consequently, if you refer five people, that's $250 off your dental work. Give them a call and ask for the details and the availability of the referral program by calling 466-6614 or go to VonTracyDDS.com. Again, that's 466-6614 or sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract. And with Republic Review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review, as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue.
Don't you love the summer months when we get all of these illuminating discussions and decisions from the Supreme Court? And so SCOTUS approved today by a 5-4 majority, ruling that Ohio can continue with its purge policy. I want to point out, and this is about voters, getting rid of dead voters, getting rid of duplicate voters, and so forth. Those who oppose these types of policies by the state are those who want to undermine the voice of the people, those who are living. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to exploit the election process with voter fraud and election fraud. Now, I've actually had election witnesses, people who volunteer to go in for the counting to make sure that there's no shenanigans being done. And so that was Aline Lindstrom, and she came in and we had a couple of different segments talking about the difference between voter fraud and election fraud. Now, voter fraud is when an individual tries to vote twice or vote under a, you know, registers under a felonious name so that they can cast an additional vote. That is voter fraud. The system itself, election fraud, is when the system itself is allowing or facilitating for voters or votes to be counted a certain way and or not to count certain votes and only count other votes. So that's election fraud. And that's a real no-no, because that means that government is doing things that it shouldn't be doing. And even though we're a Republican form of government, we utilize the democratic process that establishes what our core representations are in some direct legislation and so forth. So anyway, I find it interesting that had Hillary won, that vote would have gone the other way because she would have put a progressive on the court and Ohio wouldn't, because keep in mind, Ohio is a battleground state. And now this sets, I hate to use this term because precedence doesn't stand from the constitutional rulings, but it'll create a precedent so that other states can come along and say, well, we're going to start purging our election or our registered voters and so forth as well. Which is a good thing. What you should be doing is you should be trying to seek the most accurate and the most, I guess the best word is accurate, making sure that those who can and should be voting are only those who vote, and not allowing illegal aliens, not allowing people to vote multiple times under felonious names, dead names, or what have you. I mean, how many elections has Mickey Mouse voted in every state, or Donald Duck and so forth? Because there have literally been people that have registered with those names. Anyway, I think it is time for something that is ideologically big to discuss in the news, because this has kind of come up. And I know Charles Payne from Fox Business News kind of talked about this. And I know that, like I said, Adam Smith has been brought up a couple of times because people are starting to, you know, peel back the onion of going, well, what is this free trade stuff? And so the term economic liberty is a term that is very, very, very seldom used. And One of the things that was coming up, as you know, was these tariffs and political retaliation comments from, obviously, Trudeau and other leaders of at the G7. And so I think Merkel was another one that said, you know, we're not going to take this. Well, I think that I think what Trump is doing is good, but I think he needs a little shift in his approach from tariffs to, you know, from increasing tariffs themselves, because all we're doing is we're just basically targeting very specific things. And that's what tariffs are. Tariffs are a targeted tax on specific goods. Bottom line, governments require some form of taxation, and the United States, its form of primary taxation in funding the government was via imposts. Imposts are taxes that are set at a very set price of all goods, raw merchandise or what have you, that come into America from foreign destinations, foreign companies, and so forth. And so what needs to happen is that Trump needs to just basically say, you know what, that we're done. What we're going to do is, instead of applying tariffs, we're going to dynamically match all our imposts against all of your goods. And what that'll do, because bottom line, I think the standard is really, really low, 2.5%, something like that, on the standard impost. And then we have some jumps, 20% or what have you. Then there's waivers, and it just becomes a headache. And so what should happen is we should just have a standard impost on whatever the highest tariff is that a country wants to impose on American goods coming into their country. So let's say with some electronics, computers, or aviation, or what have you, because the government wants to have some kind of a protection for their little industry, then what we should do is let's say it's a 20%. Okay, then we basically put tariffs and put imposts on everything that we import from them at that level. So in other words, it incentivizes them to not put tariffs on any of our goods, because, you know, you tariff one thing and we will just basically increase our imposts on everything that we bring in from you. And by doing that, it just simplifies it. Nobody has to scratch their head and go, okay, so what are the imposts? Well, it's this. And why is that? Because they've got these tariffs on these goods. What it'll do is it will force Europe to change how they're dealing with us, because, you know, there may be some advantage for Germany, there may be some advantage for Canada to try to do targeted tariffs, but when it hurts across the board every industry that they are dealing with, you know, because there's no way they're going to want to add tariffs to the pharmaceuticals that are coming in, because they definitely don't want to see, you know, having to raise the price and the cost, because their electorate will have to pay a lot more. Like, they'd have to pay like Americans are paying for their medicine, because they're getting away with, I'd say, murder, but that's, you know, a pretty tough charge. But they're getting away with getting pharmaceutical costs of, you know, medicine and so forth at a fraction of what we're paying. And everybody knows this. So they wouldn't want to touch all of those things. They were going to want to try to continue having very specific tariffs on those things that really won't hurt their economy too much, but it still protects certain industries. And this forces them to get out of this. And so by increasing the impost across the board, as we basically set this, we'll let them set what that standard is. If it's 30%, you want to tax us 30% on our Boeing jets or what have you, because you happen to be manufacturing your own Airbuses out of your country and you're trying to make sure that you have, you know, a good competitive edge to selling your crap, then, okay, well, then all imposts from that country will be 30%. In doing this, this is, like I said, this is truly the way to divide and conquer Europe, and is to play a heavy-handed economic policy. The intent is to basically create, it's kind of like the prisoner dilemma, because there are certain countries that cannot afford, because they don't have big industries. Look at Italy, Spain, and some of these smaller countries. They cannot afford to have to be, you know, paying those kind of tariffs, because they want to be able to sell us goods at a much lower price that they possibly can, because we can buy more, because their economies are really sucking. Now, Germany may be able to play a little bit, but when they try to say, well, the whole EU is going to do this, this will actually devastate the EU, because there are certain countries that will want to do this and other countries that won't. And this is how you can divide the EU against itself, because, again, there are countries that want to be able to compete, and they don't want to have to deal with across-the-board heavy-handed tactics. So they will basically break away and say, you know what, we're okay with, you know, just having a 3% tariff on your stuff, and you have a 3% on us. We'll be okay with that. And you will find that there will only be a couple of nations standing, but they won't stand long, because they won't be able to last the test of time in not being able to buy American foods and some of these other services that we provide. As you can tell, I'm at a hard break. So I'll finish up with this, and then we'll get into some ratification debates when we get back. Thank you much. Most of my listeners understand the importance in having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategy for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of your teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth, and many dentists will take your money just to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail, and if you don't have a long-term strategy for your teeth and dental health, then you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain and restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Von Tracy, DDS.com. That's VONTRACYDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health. The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
And so one of the things that I've been saying
for a while. I actually believe earlier this month I talked about this, and I know I've been talking about this on my local show as well as in emails way back to the first Arab Spring of 2011. And the term economic liberty is a term that is very rarely used. But let me get into this, because I've been saying this for a long time. America has been subsidizing communism around the world for over a century. That means that nations like Russia would have failed and China would have failed by now if it wasn't for us and the globalists who are trying to control the world. And so I'll even tell you this, that America, you taxpayers, me, all of us taxpayers, we're subsidizing the communist revolution right here within America. Because those, again, who want to control us, like the globalists and the elitists, the establishment, those folks are literally using your tax dollars to subsidize all these social justice warriors out there, whether they be the elitist millionaire football players, whether they be the Hollywood elitists who, you know, pull their glasses down over their nose and look over their brim of glasses and say, you know, Trump, you know, this and that. I'm telling you that those folks are elitist, that they want you, the minions, us taxpayers, controlled so that they can have a much better life for themselves so that we don't have this access. They want communism. They want these barriers between them and us, and they don't think that we deserve to be at their level. So bottom line, we've been subsidizing this because they've been using our entitlement system internally to basically help pay for these radicals to hopefully collapse the system to force us into communism, as well as funding all of these nations. So when you buy products from China, where does that money go? That money goes into the cost of making those things. Well, what is the cost of making things in a communist state? Because the government runs every single industry. And so whatever the government needs is what they charge, and that's how they add all those prices on. So we're literally paying for the government. And if you look at the amount of taxes that are being added to every product, in addition to, that's the product cost, in addition to the tariffs of, or I should say, the imposts of what we bring them in, because our government needs something to run as well. And for a century, that's how it made its money, was the taxing on imposts. Got to remember, the first tariffs were applied by whom? Madison, with the behest of Jefferson and so forth. Jefferson was the first president to apply embargoes against Britain. And so it's important to understand why we have these economic tools to utilize to help exploit, you know, problems or what have you with other nations that are not playing nicely or what have you. So the fact that Trump wants to end the imbalance at the Americans' expense is a very refreshing approach. But the question is this a play for control, or is this a play for free trade? And that's quote-unquote free trade. Because what is free trade? Free trade is not, there's no such thing as free trade. If you want free trade, if you want truly a free market, then you have to go to the black market. Because a free market means that there's no government involvement. There's no tax. Government doesn't even know about the deal. That's why if you sell something on the in the black market, like if you do a garage sale, do you report the goods of your sale to the government so that you have to pay taxes on that? Or do you pocket all that money? And if you do, then you're participating in the black market, because the government, I don't know any state that is not trying to get their hands into people's wallets. As a matter of fact, I live in a state that actually charges sales tax, and many of these states are doing this. They'll charge sales tax on the purchase of a car. Not just the first time, but every time a car is purchased. So the question is, isn't that duplicate taxation? Right? Because you pay the full tax on that car when you buy it. If you sell your car and it goes to somebody else, and that person has to pay the state the sales tax, does the state reimburse you for the taxes that you paid? No. They pocket the money each time. And so they're getting away with double taxation. It's almost like, if you understand our legal system, it is illegal to charge somebody or to try somebody with double jeopardy. We should have a law that makes it so states cannot charge sales tax on the same item. If they do, they have to reimburse the person who paid the sales tax the first time. So in other words, let's say they want to make sure people are paying a tax on top of whatever it is they buy, then okay, then when the taxes that they receive from this person for the price that they paid for that car the second time, then they have to reimburse the person that paid it the first time. Because that's only fair. You should only pay taxes on something for the life of what you have. And if you have it for the entire lifespan of that product, then you should have absorbed possibly the taxes. I mean, I'm not a real fan of sales tax. I think that there are better mechanisms because it's a consumption tax. And what sales taxes kind of do is it incentivizes you to not buy. But anyway, and I think what we want to do is we want people to engage in commerce because that's how our economy starts growing. And as government becomes more and more oppressive with the taxation, then it just becomes the natural tendency of an individual, you, I, or whomever, to try to skirt the process because the onus or the burden of having to pay that heavy-handed tax, 10%, are you kidding me? Because government is doing way too many things that it shouldn't be doing. Go look at your state constitution and see if your government has the authority to do all the things it's doing. And you probably find it doesn't. It's just been assuming these things because you got to remember they're only supposed to do things at the consent of the governed. And did you give them your consent to do those things? This is why I say if you look at these blue and progressive states where there's a stronghold of progressives within the state legislative bodies, because you have two, except in Nebraska. I love all these, having to say all these caveats. But anyway, just to be accurate. So the problem is that if you would work with your county supervisors or your county commissioners and get them to call for a state constitutional convention, get your state count or get your counties to basically call upon all the counties to convene a convention to review your state constitution. And in doing so, amend it to the way so that the state can't just arbitrarily increase taxes, force them to have a supermajority every time taxes need to go up. This is how you take government back and say, you know what, we're not just giving you unlimited government anymore because the states are doing things and they play each other. The states play the federal government against you as well as the federal government playing the states against you because it's like, well, oh, we're having to do this because, you know, the federal government is making us do this because we took federal money and we had to implement policies and plans for Agenda 21 or what have you. And I'm going, you see, this is how they play the Mutt and Jeff routine, you know, just like a police inquisition in trying to get you to doing something that you probably wouldn't have done normally. And it infuriates me that we're not doing more. That's why this show is on. But let me get back to this concept of free trade. There is really no such thing as free trade. But what we want to do is bring trade down to where the picture of government is at the minimum. There should be consequences because why would we want to reward inefficiencies? And it is a proven fact that if you let government run healthcare, then you'll have inefficiencies and you'll have overruns, budgets, and schedules unmet, and so forth, and you'll have failures and people dying. That's the fact. If you get the free market, or I should say the market space, to actually take care of things, then they can actually respond dynamically and actually fix problems where government doesn't. They just make bigger problems. As you can tell, I'm in a hard break, so I have to finish this when we come back because I did want to get into these ratification debates and I'm losing time. So thank you so much. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. It's that time of year to get that dental checkup and cleaning. I know many of us are creatures of habit and we tend to settle for what we know, and many of us are procrastinators. I was that way myself with my past dentist, jumping from one dentist chair to the next. From all the hopping, I've learned that all dentists are not equal, and I would challenge you to consider checking out Dr. Von Tracy. I work hard to make a living and I'm not one to throw my hard-earned money away on just a good dentist. That's why it took me a couple of years to find a great dentist. From the excellence of his staff to the quality of the work, Dr. Tracy is the difference. I know it's time to put standards to our loyalty, so I would ask you to give Dr. Tracy a try by setting up your next appointment with him. Just go to VONTRACYDDS.com or call them at 509-466-6614. Again, sign up at VONTRACYDDS.com. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcasts and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
And so right before the break, I was coming up with this term, free trade, with quotations on free. What is free trade? What is trade? Because government is involved when it comes to world commerce or goods going from one country to the next. So there's going to be imposts or some level of taxes for the cost of government. And like I said, all things are not equal. When you don't have government involved in healthcare, when you don't have government involved in education and so forth, if you look at the cost of our government, it is unhealthy and it is unconstitutional. It shouldn't be charging as much money. I will tell you, if we execute Republic Review and we get the government operating within the confines of the Constitution, once again, its expenditures would drop so dramatically that we would be able to actually not save, but we would be able to actualize our
Social Security, as well as the liability of Medicare, Medicaid, and so forth, and be able to move forward in freeing future generations from having to deal with that and actually create a true free market once again. Unfortunately, the framers did not do a very good job as to what, why, how, and so forth in educating. But more importantly, it's not that they didn't do a good job. They did kind of cover it, but they didn't create desktop procedures of liberty. And so we're going to have to clean this up. We're going to have to do this. But and it's, this isn't that hard to do, folks. The point is that what we have to do is we have to start stripping this back and then realizing what the cost of a real product is when you have everything in a free market. When I'm using the quotations free, a reasonable government market where the government markup is not a 20% markup for because that's what the cost of government is. Technically, if you look at the taxes the federal government has been placing on corporations, other than the exemptions like for the NFL and things like that, where they don't pay any taxes, even though it's a multi-billion dollar industry. If you look, it has been historically 35%, right? And it just went down to what, 20, 21, 22%. So that's how much government is placing on corporations. But I'm telling you, that's way too high because government shouldn't be in the business of healthcare, education, and all these other things, and its cost should go down even more. And so if you look at what government should be, then we can actualize what we should be paying for a product if it is in a free market. Then you can start determining whether a nation is subsidizing its government, just like we are, with the goods, products, and services that are coming from that nation. Because technically, we're really not subsidizing. We have the success story going on that the government is subsidizing itself at, on the backs of the producers. If you look at Europe, there's no way Europe can compete with us because they get months off. They are the epitome of the secularist entitlement state. That's why Italy, Spain, and a lot of these countries are having problems because there's way too many people not producing. They only work. Look at when you can brag about how little you work. Supposedly, that's a contention of bragging. I think there's no greater thing to do in life than being productive. There's no thing that a person can do better, or I should say, more fulfilling and more rewarding than contributing to society and making society better. Whether that's in building homes, whether that is in building software, whatever it is you're building, hopefully you're contributing in a productive way instead of making nefarious software like viruses or what have you, or you're working in a laboratory that can clone some nasty virus that'll kill the world's population. Those things shouldn't be happening if you're a good, if again, we don't have a good moral society. We can only do one thing at a time. And what we first have to do is we have to get government back into the box of the Constitution. We do that, then we can start putting everything else in its place. We can start actually creating a moral society again, bringing back those fundamental principles that our framers identified that were critical and key in building a good society, an enlightened society, not a society that is seeking debasement and debauchery. And so, as we move forward, the question I have is, as we start going down this path of actualizing how much it really costs to make that car, because bottom line, there's no one in Europe, and really there's no one in Japan that is going to make the cars more efficiently, because I'm telling you, when you're buying cars that are coming from Japan, they're heavily subsidized by the government. The government actually brings their prices down. It's the same thing with electronics. Have you ever heard of Hitachi? Yeah, Hitachi makes tractors. Hitachi's a city in North Hokkaido. And so most people don't realize that it is the Hitachi city that started creating these products because it's all government. They are a socialistic society, and we're rewarding them as they buy down their stuff because they know that if they can sell volume, and they've been very successful in becoming very efficient in their processes, and that's how they make their money. But government constantly subsidizes the R&D and everything else. And so we cannot reward companies, or I should say countries, that are doing those types of things because they're not playing on the same level playing field that we are. And so what we have to do, and the real question is the world really ready for economic freedom and individual liberty, or economic liberty? This is such a can of worms that this could shift the axis of the world, because if we literally start mandating that we account for those hidden costs or those hidden breaks the government is subsidizing, such as Japan or Korea and or China in these communist countries, and say, you know what, we believe that you're subsidizing these things, and so we're going to have to add prices or an extra impost because of what you're doing. When we start actually applying the cost of government to the goods, or when we start adding those costs to those goods because the government is doing what it can to get them cheaper into America by subsidizing, then I think the impetus is on us to actually force them to sell their products at the prices that would be truly competitive. Because you know as well as I do, they don't have the same quality of life in China. They don't have the same healthcare. We're heading in their direction. But if we start going down this path of economic liberty, I think we can actually shift the world axis in forcing everybody to actualize what the cost of government is on goods, so that they're all playing on the same field. Because wouldn't it be great in 10 years that Europe has to work a 40-hour or even a more aggressive work schedule, work week, instead of their lackadaisical indolence that they have? Wouldn't it be great that people around the world learn a good ethic of, you know, of work values and so forth, so that they can earn an honest dollar for an honest wage, or I should say an honest level of effort for an honest wage? And so the point is that, and I didn't mean to consume my entire show on this, but it's gone down that path. Are we ready to place imposts on these types of forms of government? Are we willing to fully privatize America in getting government out of these costs so that we can be more efficient and no longer become a bloated government and a bloated market space for healthcare, education, and all these other things? Because if we get government out, then we can actually start freeing innovations and much better opportunities. This is big, and very few people understand this paradigm. But as I've mentioned before, economic liberty is what it is, and that's where we need to go. So you have to understand what economic liberty is. And if you understand liberty, liberty requires symbiotic relationship between three principles. The first principle is freedom or free agency. The second principle is responsibility, and the third is accountability. If you are held responsible and accountable for your behaviors, actions, and so forth economically, then we can actually start holding everybody accountable, because then they have to answer to why they're adding extra costs to their goods, you know, that we're bringing in and so forth. These are also tenets of leadership, but I'm out of time for the Terrestrials. So we will be back as soon as this music is over, and I'll tell you what we're doing next week. So hold on just for a second, folks. Thank you much. And so what I'm actually doing for the rest of the week is I'm going to go through a few more focuses on the North Carolina ratification debates. and then we will get into the Pennsylvania ratification debates. And then hopefully by that point in time, I'll be able to start really burying you with some names and campaigns and so forth that we need to start getting involved in and getting good constitutional candidates across the finish line so that I can get these guys, you know, on the hook and signing pledges that they are going to do these things. It is a sad day when you have people in office that refuse to pledge to uphold their oath in protecting, supporting, and obeying the Constitution. With that, my folks, I am out of here. I'm G.R. Mobley. I'm reclaiming the Republic with your help. Thank you very much.